encouraging prayer. God offers an open invitation for his people to talk with him at any time about anything. On Encouraging Prayer, Dr. James Banks, author of the best-selling Prayers for Prodigals and many other books on prayer, provides weekly biblical insight to help you learn to love to pray. And now, here's James. Today on Encouraging Prayer, we're going to talk about something that's so important. James, this is one that's near and dear, you know, to your heart, isn't it? We're going to talk about praying for prodigals.
This really is an important topic, Rob, not just for me, but for so many of our listeners. If you have a prodigal in your life, you know how difficult that can be. And of course, we usually think about a prodigal son or daughter, but it could be a parent or a spouse or a friend. A prodigal is someone who is running from God and needs to come home to him.
Yeah, some of our listeners may know that you've written a best-selling book about this, Prayers for Prodigals, and you wrote it out of personal experience. So can you tell us more?
Well, we went through a really hard time with our kids, and we got to the place where we realized that try as hard as we might, we couldn't change their hearts, you know? I mean, you do everything that you can, and you get to the point where you realize only God could do that. And it's hard to stay focused when you're emotionally exhausted and feeling like a failure. And so I found myself just, you know, writing down some of my prayers and anchoring them as best I could to the Word of God, because, you know, in myself, I had nothing.
So that's one of the ways that you learn to pray for prodigals, right? With your Bible right there in front of you.
Yeah, that's right. Because God has a way of meeting us in his Word unlike any other place. And at that time, I had just learned something from Charles Spurgeon about praying God's Word. And he said that the prayer you promised, actually he said, thou saidest, but you promised, is one of the most vital ways that you can pray.
So you found yourself looking for promises in God's Word and sort of praying them back to him.
Well, that's part of it. The Psalms are full of references like that. For example, Psalm 103:17 tells us that the Lord's love is with those who fear him and his righteousness is with their children's children. Well, you could pray that, you know, and you could see all kinds of scripture references that talk about God's faithfulness through all generations. And 1 Corinthians 7:14 tells us that the children of believers are set apart or holy, as some translations put it. And you may not understand what all of that means, but again, you can pray that and say, Lord, show me what this means. You know, but one thing we do know it means is that our children matter to God. He's God of generations, of families. And when we're praying for our loved ones to come to him, we can be assured that we're praying for something that matters more to him even than it does to us. I mean, regardless of where they've been or what they've done, he loves them.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, the very reason Jesus came, 1 Timothy 1:15 says, he came into the world to save sinners.
Exactly, you know, and Paul adds to that, of which I'm the very worst. Yeah, so it's important to sort this out, because so often the parents of prodigals can feel like failures, like I mentioned, you know. I mean, if only I'd done something differently. And this is made more difficult by the fact that, let's face it, if you haven't had a prodigal or you haven't been one, it's very difficult to place yourself in their skins. And people can be judgmental without even meaning to. And if you're not careful, you know, you can feel, as the parent of a prodigal, for example, that God is condemning you and your prodigal, and that can keep you from praying. There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, the parents of prodigals often feel alone, don't they?
Yeah, they really do. I mean, you can feel like you're the only one in the world going through this, when the truth is there are so many. That's something I've seen as I've ministered to the parents of prodigals all over the country. You see people listening to others in the room and saying, wow, I had no idea. You know, someone else is going through exactly the same thing I am. And that really helps to know, because then you can pray for each other in a fresh way, and you can carry each other's burdens.
Let's talk some more about praying the Word of God for our prodigals. So what are some of the other things that help?
Well, there are so many passages you can pray. You know, you can pray the 23rd Psalm, and while you're doing it, just, you know, pray, Lord, I want you to be my son's shepherd. I want you to do this. You know, just pray your way through it. Or there are so many passages, like 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Lord, please let this love grow in their lives. And God will meet you there and encourage you when you pray his word like that.
So read and pray. Read and pray.
Yes, yes. I mean, pray the prayers of Scripture, like Ephesians 3, 14 and 21. And as you pray it, insert your child's name. You know, just go there. Wherever you're reading and God moves your heart, take that verse and turn it into prayer.
You've seen the power of praying that way. I know because, you know, I've talked with your son just recently.
Yes. I mean, and entirely through God's mercy. And we write about that, Jeff and I, in the new book, Hope Lies Ahead. And by the way, that just went into audio version. And, you know, he would tell you that he wouldn't be alive if not for our prayers.
But James, what do you say to the person who says, you can't name it and claim it? Your kids, your prodigals, are going to make their own choices, and they have to come to God of their own free will.
Well, I agree with that. As a matter of fact, I got a note from a reader about that just this past week. She was basically saying, how can I pray for this knowing that some have prayed for their kids and they haven't come home? You know, what do you say to that? And my response was that we have to pray with faith. After all, what's the alternative? I mean, no, it's not naming it and claiming it, but James 1:7 warns us against praying and doubting that whatever we're praying for will happen, you know. And I can tell you that in my own experience, God has been so merciful, even to my weakness when I've prayed. Jesus said, even a small amount of faith, like a mustard seed, can move mountains. And if I can just say, I don't have much, but I have that, you know, I've got a little bit, and I can place it in God's hands, that's when miracles happen. So I have a responsibility to pray. God gave me this loved one for a reason, puts them on my heart for a purpose, and I need to give myself to that and to him and to pray with passion for them. You know, you may be the only one praying in a prodigal's life, and if you don't pray, who will? So if I don't see something happening, or if the very opposite of what I'm asking for seems to happen, I'm going to keep praying. I'm going to pray as long as I live, because it could even be after I'm in heaven that I see the answer come.
James, I have a feeling this is going to be helpful for a lot of people. Would you close out our time by praying for our prodigals?
Let's do it. Lord, you know. Oh, Lord, your arm is not too short to save. Help them, bless them, save them, bring them home. We ask this in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. You can hear more from Pastor James by visiting his website, jamesbanks.org, or by visiting Peace Church in Durham, North Carolina. May God bless you and encourage you as you pray.